the burden of my heart tonight is a true Christian walk. You know, today we have so many people claiming to be Christians. But you know something? There is a way to know that we are really a true Christian, that we have and doing what it takes to have a true Christian walk.
Yes.
But we want to start with the thought, the question actually. What does it take to have a true Christian walk? And the thoughts on my heart tonight will address that and answer that question. I doubt that I'll be able to do all the things that's on my heart. It would take too long. But pray for me that what is here, that what the Lord wants us to cover, that he will bless. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. If we want to have a true Christian walk, we got to start right. You know, if you want to end right, you need to start right. And so in this scripture, we'll understand exactly how to start right on our Christian journey. You know, the scripture said they were Christians. You know what they said? They were first called Christians at Antioch or something like that. We're all Christians. And if we're Christians, we're saints. We're called to be saints, right? And so we want to live that. We want to do what it takes. If we start right and we continue right, we'll end right. Somebody get 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. I think it's best to start maybe at the 8th verse.
Though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made me sorry, though it were but for you, for a season. 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage. For godly sorrow were repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death.
Okay. So you see, we got to start with repentance. We got to have godly sorrow. Godly sorrow means that I'm sorry in my heart that I grieved the heart of God. That's godly sorrow. If you're sorry because you got caught doing something wrong, that's the sorrow of the world. And that does not work, repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, and that not to be repented of. So we have to repent of our sins. This is for all of us. I don't know if I've told you all, but when I grew up, my mother taught me the ways of righteousness. She taught us this. And so, as far as I knew, I was living it. If you had asked me, like when I was like 8 or, you know, 7 or whatever, if I was saved, I probably would have thought yes. But then when I got 12 years old, I must have been in Monarch, I heard a message that said, you must repent. Everybody must repent. And so I did that. And that brought salvation.
That's right.
And I can remember to this day that it seemed like the trees were more beautiful. Everything was beautiful because of salvation.
Yeah.
A lot of times when children have been raised around the saints, they feel like they're saved. If you ask them, they'll say, I'm saved. But it is godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation. It's going to take repentance, not shaking the preacher's hand, as some people probably teach, not confessing your fault of yourself to a priest. It takes repentance to God, knowing that sin, like in Cain and Abel, God told him sin lies at the door. Cain could have avoided what he did had he repented. God already warned him and told him, but he didn't listen. But when the Lord reveals to us of sin, we need to repent of sin. And that makes salvation. That's how you get a good start in this Christian walk. But once we start, then we need to clear up the past. If we did something wrong to somebody, we need to go and ask them to forgive us. If we took something, we need to take it back. We need to make restitution.
That's right.
Restitution is very important. We can't just ignore the things we've done and act like it's okay. Yes, the Lord forgives us for those things, but we need to take care of it. Clear up the past. And then once we clear it up, keep it clear. We're human. We make mistakes. We might speak a little harsh to somebody. Apologize. Tell them, I'm sorry. I was a little impatient with you. Or I didn't speak the way I should have. Or even I didn't have the right attitude when I did that or said that. Clear up and keep clear. And then we need to be honest. I have a real burden about this. Because we will not be able to be successful if we're not honest.
That's right.
We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God. And we need to be honest with others. I was thinking about, there's a word called guile. We should not have any guile. You know, when we're sometimes a person feel like they're honest because they don't really just tell an outright lie, right? And you think you're honest. That is good, but it goes deeper than that. Guile is something I want to, I looked up some of these words. It says that guile is clever and sometimes dishonest behavior that you use to deceive someone. Duplicity. And duplicity is kind of like, belying one's true intention by deceptive words or action. And belying means to give a false impression. This is how this might work. Somebody come to me and say, you know, I ate that cake and it was so delicious. I think you did a wonderful job. I didn't do it. Say Sarah did the cake. She likes to bake. And then I don't say anything. I let them believe that that was my cake and I did a good job. This is guile. This is being dishonest. Sometimes you can leave a certain amount of stuff out of what you're saying to give an impression that's not true. But you want them to think that. Somebody really gave a lot in the offering today. I know that was you because you always give it. And I don't say anything. And I let them think that. But I can also say enough. I really gave I tried to give a lot, to give an impression.
Help, Lord.
Or anyway, leaving part of the truth out, saying part of the truth and not saying all of it. All of this is guile. But you know something? There's no success in the Christian walk if we're going to be dishonest. We need to be honest from the very start to finish.
Lord.
It's a place. But do you know the Lord will put his finger on if you had some, well, you know that you should, you know you didn't do that. And he'll put his finger on it and tell you to go and take care of it. And if we don't, we're going to be responsible. I want to read some scriptures about guile. It's giving a false impression. Psalms 34 and 13. Let's read it.
Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile.
That's God's commandment. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. 2 Peter 2, 21 to 22. And Sarah, read up a little louder, please.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true
Bible. Sarah, I probably should have said 1 Peter. Go through it.
For what glory is it if when ye be thus
notice that Jesus was our perfect example, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. One scripture say, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. We don't need to have something part of it, but something hidden in the back. We need to be upfront with what we say and what we do. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3. We know that the Lord wants us to not have any guile. This is the message on this part. If we want to have a true Christian walk, we must have one that is honest and that's upfront, and that there is no guile. Now, Jesus commended Philip. Is it Philip? Let's go to John, St. John 1 and 47.
Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed,
yes.
And he is no God.
Amen.
That is commendable. We want the Lord to be able to say that. Do you know when he said at the judgment, when he tell you, come ye blessed of my Father.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be, it's going to take something to get that. And Jesus commended him. We need to be able for Jesus to commend us as well, in whom there is no guile. And in 1 Peter 2 and 1 it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings.
Yes.
Gal is in the middle of that. And it doesn't say some gal. It says all gal. So we don't want to have those things in our lives. When we do this, we have gone to the Lord. We have given our heart to God. We have repented of our sin. We have a clean heart and a clean life. And we have fixed the past, done the restitutions. Now we go on. There are things we have to go on, things we have to put on. We go on to baptism. If you've never been baptized, go on. That's part of your Christian walk. Yes. And I'm not going to read about that, but we know that that's part of what the Lord wants us to do. And then we've done all of these things. Let's take the Word of God as our companion.
Yes.
Let's walk with it, talk with it. Let it be our daily food.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, and I'm going to tell you, the devil fights it. He fights it. He fights getting the Word of God, reading it, meditating it, and letting it be a part of us. There's cares of this life. When you get up in the morning, something happens. Maybe a call comes, or this and that happen. Oh, I got to get to the bank by a certain time. Oh, I got to do this. He wants to take away the time that we need to spend with the Lord. But if we can just stop and make it our habit, God first, I'm going to read and I'm going to pray first. Read, even if you can't read a whole chapter, read a scripture and get it and take it with you. Chew on it all through the day. Think about it. Meditate on it. And this will help us to have a true Christian walk with God.
Yes.
I was thinking about, you know, I'm a retired teacher. You all know, most of y'all know that. And to teach, you want children that really study, right? You give them, in elementary school, you may give them a set of words to learn. You give it to them usually on Monday. And you want them to take those words throughout the week, learn them and apply them. You know, not just memorize the spelling of it, but apply them.
Yes.
Maybe make up sentences or make up a paragraph using them. Different things. Don't you know the Lord wants us to do that? When it comes to His Word, He wants us to study the Word of God. Not just, you know, let's make it a habit. Find some time. Put aside some time. Maybe in the morning. You can't spend a lot of time, so you get one little crumb of the Word of God and take it with you. But then somewhere during the day or night, take some time to read and study the Word of God.
Yes.
This is going to help us in our walk with Him. Let's go to John 5:39. Search the scriptures. Do you know who need to know the scripture the most? Christians. If somebody come up to you and tell you something, you need to know enough of the Word of God to know if it's true or false. But you don't know it if you don't eat it, and if you don't read it, and if you don't study. Somebody could tell you almost anything, and you'll accept it because you don't know any better. We as the Christians need to know the Word of God. And how are we going to know it if we don't open it up and read it? We must do this. It's very important. 1 Timothy 4:13. There is no excuse for us not knowing the Word of God.
Amen.
There's absolutely no excuse. You know, we are living in a country where we can have access to the Word of God, read it anytime we want to. We don't have to be afraid somebody's looking in our window and gonna take us. There is no excuse. This word is vital to our life and to our strength and to our understanding of God and His ways. If we don't read it, we don't know it. So we want to read it. It's very important. And I was thinking also when it comes to school. You know, I went to college, and a lot of you have, no doubt, different ones have. But you know, you don't do well in school if you don't study. You can't just sit there and think, I'm going to learn by osmosis. I'm going to sit here, the teacher's going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to pass the test. No, you have to take some time. Open the book that goes with the class and read it and study it and apply it. Or else you don't really get the true, you might get a passing grade. You might get a C. And for some, a D is okay. But no, if you really want to know that class, you're going to have to put some time in there and some effort in there, or you won't. The same way with the Lord. Our Christian walk is vital to our eternity, and we need to do everything we can to get it. I was telling somebody, you know, I'm a minister, I preach to others, but I have to feed myself. I have to get some food for myself. And I don't want to just depend on all of what I got. So at night, I like to, before I go to bed, I like to put on a message. I like to listen to some other minister and get some food. I try to feed myself. Let's stop wasting time on these phones, playing games. Let's take some time reading God's word, listening to messages, listening to good godly songs. Some of the songs I ride with people sometimes. Some of those songs they listen to off the radio, not worth listening to in my book, because they don't have no substance to it. They have a beat or this or that, and that stuff is not going to build you up spiritually. It's going to make you dull and not sensitive to the things of God. Let's get good Christian. I don't mean worldly Christian. I mean good, solid hymns and things that's going to build us up, that's going to coincide with this word of God.
Right.
Coincide with it. That's what we need. We don't need all this worldly stuff. So much time is being wasted on foolishness. Let's get rid of the foolishness. Let's take life serious. Yes, we can have some relaxation. I'm not saying that, but let's take life and our salvation serious and our walk with God serious and put aside all this foolish junk. As far as I'm concerned, it's so much junk on the phone. I have a phone. I'm on the phone, but usually when I am, I'm looking up scriptures, or I'm maybe trying to text somebody, maybe encourage somebody, do something that's going to be a value and it's going to be a blessing. This is what we need. Let's go to Colossians 3:12.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy in love, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering.
You see what we got to do? We got to start putting stuff on.
Yes.
We got to add to our, one scripture said, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance, it just goes on. The list goes on. We got to add some of these spiritual things to our salvation. Just going, just being content with what you got in the beginning is not good enough. We got to go deeper than that. And so we put on as the elect of God, holy and come on, read that again.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering.
put on these things. If you just don't have very much patience, then put on. Ask the Lord to help you. Give you more patience. Have some long suffering with people. Some people you got to suffer long with. Some of them you might have to suffer a little bit, but some you got to suffer long with. They might irritate you. They might talk too much for and irritate you. What do you need then? Some long suffering. And some patience. All of these things. Or maybe they do things the wrong way. They come in, they slam the door, and that bothers you. All kinds of little things that we can have that we need long suffering with. We need to be gentle, and we need to be patient. We need to be kind and loving. All of these things, we need to start putting it on as Christians, as the child of God. And then, another thing we need to do is have a consistent prayer life. We need to pray. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He had a pattern. He had, no doubt, a certain time. Make sure he pray, I guess, in the morning, at noon, and at night.
Yes.
And that got him in trouble, but you know what? That got him victory too. Because that prayer life he had helped him to live like God would live and be an example. And God took care of him when he went into the lion's den. He sent the angel to shut the lion's mouth, and they did him no harm. And to know that those lions were hungry, when they threw the other men in there, those lions grabbed them before they could even reach the bottom. So have a consistent prayer life. Communicate with the Lord. Make it your daily, all the time. One scripture says, pray without ceasing. We can pray and talk to the Lord while we walk by the way, while we're doing our work, while we whatever circumstance we're in. And when somebody comes to you with something, whisper a prayer that you can give them the right answer.
That's right.
Because we cannot depend on our own self. So the last part of this is to go on to sanctification.
That's right.
If you're saved, that's good. But you need to go on to sanctification. Because if you don't, you won't keep going. You want to know how to keep going? Get sanctified. If you want to know how to go for the long haul, get sanctified.
Yes.
If you don't, you won't be a spiritual person. You'll be carnal-minded. And that's why you can just act carnal. You know, react like the world would react, or like self would react. So I want to go read this scripture, Hebrews 6:1-2.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us move on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith for God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment.
You must go on. We all must go on. The Lord wants to have a sanctified church.
Right.
I was talking, I don't know who we were talking the other day, and we were saying, used to be, when we get up and testify, people used to say, I'm saved and sanctified. And now, you don't hear that. Some people maybe kind of say they saved and sanctified. We don't need that kind of way of living. That's a carnal way. We need to be saved and sanctified. When we get the Spirit of the Lord, we'll be able to tolerate with people.
Yes.
We'll be able to have patience. We'll also have a spiritual mind.
That's right.
Not a carnal mind.
Yes.
Not a self. You know, we can get rid of self. When we have the Spirit of God, we can die to self. But if we don't have the Spirit of God, self is on display. We have to have it our way or the highway. So this is just a little message that I want us to take home from this meeting. Things that we can do to have the true Christian walk. Pray for me.